Before the roads, before the railways, they were here, small, silent, and now rediscovered. Mary Joyce, veteran journalist, researcher, and editor of Sky Ships Over Cashiers, returns to share stunning firsthand accounts and physical evidence uncovered in the hills of North Carolina. From hidden tunnels to tiny skeletons, she brings the testimonies of those who unearthed the forgotten race, the Cherokee Little People. Their story might just change how we see American history forever. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 360 radio show. And tonight's program is being brought to you by Keith, the insurance guy. If you are looking to make a change and you want to start saving money, then you want to make sure that you give Keith, the insurance guy, a call. He can help you save big on health care coverage without sacrificing quality. Call 612-230-5522. That's 612-230-5522 and begin saving. And he can help you nationwide. All right. Mary Joyce is back with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Mary, it's interesting to me because just in the last week, I was reporting on my other program, some of the paranormal news and strange news. They have uncovered bodies that are, I think they said, like 60,000 years old, that the DNA matches no known race here on our planet. They've also uncovered bodies that were around 330,000 year old that, again, we find no traceable genome that is still alive in our culture today. So when we talk about the Cherokee Little People that you're about to introduce us to, for people rolling your eyes and saying, oh yeah, another flight of fancy, a crazy fairy tale we're about to hear. Science is proving time and time again that there are species, beings, humanoid creatures that have inhabited this planet that have no direct relationship to us, but they do exist. And we're hearing, I know there's a couple of different places where they've called them the Hobbit people. They've uncovered these little villages with the remains of these very small hobbit-like humans. And it's not just a one-off anomaly. It's an entire civilization. But I got to be honest with you, again, not living in that area, I hadn't heard about the Cherokee Little People until I heard about Mary Joyce and the work that she does. Her book is called Cherokee Little People Were Real. And again, we'll have a link for that on tonight's program guide. Mary, talk to me about the Cherokee Little People. When did this come into your knowledge base?
I moved to North Carolina and I didn't know a thing about Cherokee Little People. And I thought they were just campfire stories or old teaching lessons or something like that with the Cherokee. Gave it not much serious attention at all. And then one day I was talking to an elderly man who was well respected in the community. He was a World War II hero. He had been a pastor of a local mountain church for like 40 years. And he said, no, they were real. And when he was a young man, he worked at Western Carolina University, which is in this area also, and he was involved with some of the early construction. When they would dig into what was supposed to be virgin soil, where Western Carolina University is, they would find these tunnels. And these tunnels were always cut in like red, solid, dense red clay. They were square cut with an arched top. That makes it stronger. And no matter where they were digging, they would find these things. He eventually said, he connected me with a whole bunch of other old timers who had worked in construction in the early days of the university. So I spent one year, I spent a lot of Saturdays around kitchen tables interviewing these old timers. And I didn't start out to do a book. All I wanted to do was save this information because nobody else was saving it. And most of these guys were in their 80s. Late 80s when I met them. And I think they've all passed away now, so I'm really glad that they did it. So I started out as a skeptic, and these guys are very convincing. And then I found, let me jump a little bit. Sometimes I know so much, I don't know where to start. There was a major flood here in 1940, the kind that just washes everything away. And there was a man who I only became aware of when he was in his 70s. And he, at the time, was 5 years old, and he found what he called this little lead head. And it was a very heavy metal medallion, and it had a, like a leprechaun's face on both sides, and it had a seam around it around the edge. So it had been molded and molded together. That became really interesting to me because the Cherokees said that there used to be a type of little person that had red whiskers, and they didn't like them, and they would kill them. And when I first heard that they would kill them, I'm going, why would they do that? But they didn't like the ones with the red whiskers. In my book, I have a picture of the medallion and a profile of a leprechaun, and the similarity is incredible. And so it's just interesting how the pieces kind of come together in so many different ways. But that medallion came from very deep beneath the ground, and so it must have been there for a very, very long time.
What do we know about these beings, aside from the fact that they live underground? They probably were short and leprechaun-looking creatures, right? It seems every piece of folklore and fable, there is a germ of reality to them. So the leprechauns very well may be, you know, what these creatures, beings are, and how the folklore around it kind of grew. Well,
the Cherokee little people look more like Native Americans.
Okay.
The other ones that look like leprechauns apparently were a whole different, I don't know, category. And they were the ones that weren't liked. Originally, the Cherokee people came from the Great Lakes region. When they migrated here to the mountains, they found these little gardens, but they didn't see any people. And then at night, they finally saw these little people coming out from their underground quarters, picking up the vegetables or from their garden and taking it back underground. So they originally were called the moon people because they would come out at night. Some of the people think it means moon-eyed people, and they were gray ETs. They weren't. They weren't. So that's one of the stories. Let's see what else.
Are we actually uncovering?
If I were going to rename my book, it would be different. It wouldn't say little Cherokee little people were real, because after the Cherokee people found out that I wasn't going to laugh at them, I began to get stories of the little people that still live in this area. And when I'm talking about these little people, they are not like little teeny tiny. They're like 3.5 feet tall. So it's a category unto themselves and wouldn't be like the hobbits.
Oh, really? Okay. Are we finding remains of these beings in all these digs that you were talking to people? Were they coming across little burial grounds and sites?
One of the professors that I interviewed, he had kept a small skull on his desk at the university, and he said it was a child skull from one of the Indian mounds. One day, an English teacher came in there and picked it up and looked at it and said, this has all of its wisdom teeth. It is an adult, because you have to be, at least 18 to hatch wisdom teeth. So that was one thing. And he kept, I don't know how his wife put up with this, but he kept the remainder of the skeleton on his mantle at home.
Okay. Wow. So there is proof and physical proof. Has like the teeth ever been pulled to do any kind of DNA to see if it is something that's directly related to us?
There's things that make me very sad. Number one, the university was more concerned about building new buildings than preserving great history. So they would try to prevent a lot of this stuff from happening. One guy in particular contacted me. He was an adult man. He had been a student there. He said when he and some of his buddies were playing in a creek or horsing around, the head of security came by with a box a little bit bigger than a shoebox. They got in a conversation with him, and he said he was taking some of the little bones that they found at the recent construction site and reburying them someplace else. So that's kind of interesting. The other thing that makes me sad, besides the cover-up, is that the bones of the little people were supposedly two giant skeletons also in their secret vaults, and all of that got sent off to the Smithsonian, where it may be lost forever.
Well, we've heard that before, haven't we, folks? The Smithsonian, they seem to be the keeper and curator of many of our mysteries from history, including the giants that were witnessed. And isn't it strange that so many of the giant stories are also associated with redheaded creatures, humanoid creatures. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got more with Mary Joyce, more of the Cherokee Little People right here on the Paranormal 360. Welcome back to the program. Mary Joyce, our guest. Mary, the giants that have been found, and there's caves that they have uncovered full bodies and skeletal remains, reports of that, with red hair and red beards. Do you think that they are tied biologically to those smaller redheaded beings and red-bearded creatures that have been witnessed as well? I mean, it's like a full scope, these huge 7-8 foot tall beings and these very small petite leprechaun type creatures.
I don't think one is a spinoff of the other. The giants have, I think almost always, are reported having 6 toes and 6 fingers on each, you know, so 24 altogether. That goes back to biblical times. You can find that in the Bible where they describe one of the giants having all those extra fingers. So no, all the little people have normal toes and normal fingers, and I don't think one is a spinoff of the other, if that answers your question.
Why do you think there is this culture with history to suppress some of these stories, to keep them from us? I don't understand hiding the fact that there were giants, especially because for the longest time, our country was predicated on religious beliefs and systems. You would think anything that could prove that there were beings that were giants would match the Bible. People, religion itself would want to glom onto that to say, see, there is proof. This did exist. Therefore, here's another piece of evidence that the Bible is true.
It's a mystery to me. It is an absolute mystery to me. And let me give you another example of ancient stuff that's being covered up. I have another book called Spy in the Sky, where I use Google Earth exploring all sorts of things. And in my explorations of Antarctica, with the help of somebody else, we found the remnants of ancient cities that we're able to see now because the ice is melting so fast. That continent supposedly has been covered up for about 34 million years. So these ancient structures have to be the oldest in the world. When I posted that on the website, it was almost immediately blurred out on Google Earth. And we found 5 different cities. All of them got eventually blurred. Thank goodness I did screenshots of all the stuff that we found. So I was able to show before and after pictures in the books, Spy in the Sky. Why? Why do they want to hide it?
Yeah,
I do not know. I do not know why they want to hide it. Huh. But they do it in so many ways.
Well, it's same with Bigfoot. Right. The overlords, the overseers of our world. Even same with Bigfoot. It seems that there's so much denial when it comes to the government. Yet there are references in older documents and things that have talked openly about these beings. But then we seem to forget that, or we just don't talk about that agenda. I wonder if it's just, it makes us too uncomfortable. We can't give a defined, firm answer. So it's better to just deny.
I don't know why. I have given a great deal of thought to this. I do not have an answer, but I do have another thing that you might find perplexing. According to Boston University of Boston Hospital, I believe, between 500 and 1,000 out of 500 or to 1,000 people that are born with 6 fingers or 6 toes and or both. I find that very interesting. And I'll be posting some information on that on the website in about 2 weeks. I've got a great picture of a man who's, you know, current human being, and there's a close-up of his hand, and he has the extra finger. And is it possible that some of us human beings have, I don't know, the DNA of giants still existing today? Because the 6 toes is quite interesting.
Yeah. Well, diving back into the Cherokee Little People, as we were talking a bit ago, the fact that once the indigenous people started to trust you with their stories, are they stating that these beings still do exist today, that they live
absolutely,
amongst us?
Absolutely. There was one gal... excuse me. And the reason I got her story was she worked at a restaurant where I went on a regular basis at one time. And one waitress convinced her to talk to me, that I was trustworthy. And so she finally opened up and I interviewed her. And she had 2 really cute stories to tell. And I kind of like cute. her family kept a small trailer up in the high mountains of an area called Big Cove. And they would keep it there for family gatherings or picnics or reunions. And so they would have a kitchen and a toilet for everybody. Well, one day, all the kids were playing hide and seek. And this woman, when she was little, went to hide in the shower. And when she went to pull back the curtain, there was a little man smiling as big as can be, and he just wanted to play with the kids. I thought that was kind of cute. It scared her to death. She went running back to her daddy. But anything that suddenly startles you will make you want to run. But he meant no harm.
Now, the Cherokee Little People, are they a shoot-off of the Cherokee tribes themselves?
They were here before the Cherokee arrived.
Okay. But they, I guess...
They're called Cherokee people because they're here in this area. And the Cherokee, they feel safe with the Cherokee people, but apparently they are not a spinoff of the Cherokee people. They were here first.
All right. And why hide underground? Is it because it's safer and larger preying creatures can't get to them, can't chase them in? What's your theory on why they continue to stay underground?
I think that's a good theory. If you're little, you have to figure out ways to protect yourself, and that's certainly one way to do it. And we have lots of caves here in the mountains, so a lot of the Bigfoot and the little people will use the caves as places to live.
All right. We've only got about a minute and a half left in this segment.
It's not just the little people and the Bigfoot that like the caves. We have 5 underground military hidden bases here in North Carolina that I have discovered. And they, in my opinion, they've just expanded underground using some of the existing caves already. It saves a lot of construction cost. So the Bigfoot, the people, and the little people all take advantage of the caves.
Interesting. And government underground facilities there. We've heard quite a bit about that, and strange noises like mechanical whirring sounds coming from under the ground, right? Things that are going on with that. Have you ever had any firsthand encounters with
that? I've done a whole book on that one too. It's called Underground Bases Hidden in North Carolina Mountains. And it gets pretty interesting.
Very cool. Mary Joyce is a wealth of information. She has quite a few books: Bigfoot Beyond the Footprints, Underground Military Bases Hidden in North Carolina Mountains, Cherokee Little People Were Real, Tangible Evidence of Jesus Left Behind for Us to Find, and Spy in the Sky, Secrets and Cover-Ups on Earth and Beyond. We have a link to Mary Joyce's website so you can find it and you can look up her books. Look up Mary Joyce on Amazon to find her books and keep up with what she's doing. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and dive a little bit more into the culture, the legend and lore of these Cherokee Little People. We'll do that next. Okay, Mary, let's talk about these Cherokee Little People a little bit more. Obviously, a lot of interesting things have been found in pictograms and the cave drawings that have been drawn and created. Do we see proof of these giant people, little people, and things that are actually being scrawled inside caves or in other forms of, I don't want to say literature, but I can't think of the proper word, not necessarily a written language, but ways that our past has tried to convey what they saw, what they experienced? Does that exist as well?
It's very rare to see anything written by the Bigfoot. Joan Ocean, who's internationally known as the dolphin expert, has managed to communicate with some that are very advanced. And she calls them, I can't remember what she calls them, but she doesn't even refer to them as Bigfoot because they are so intelligent and so wise. And they've been able to, I won't say write, but they've been able to print and communicate and things like that. But I've never seen anything of the Bigfoot doing that. As far as the little people go, I've seen nothing in written form either. And the best evidence are the little bones, which they found, especially in Tennessee. But then I love these news stories that I've gotten since the Cherokee found out that I'm not going to laugh at them.
And I want to hear those stories, but I don't know if I posed the question properly. I'm wondering if in the pictograms and things that we see in the cave art have these depictions of little beings. I know Bigfoot seems to have appeared, and we even see some imagery that looks like aliens in some of these cave drawings. Has there been any sightings of images of these little people that
you saw a cave drawing and you saw a little one, would you know it was a little person?
Good point. Yeah, you might just say get the child they're representing. Yeah,
or just a different size drawing. So I don't think that would prove anything. The proof is more in the people that still interact with them. And by the way, the old timers among the Cherokee will put food out for the little people. And if they don't get their regular food, they've been known to take pebbles and throw it on the rock on the roof as if to remind them, "Hey, you forgot us. You forgot us." And another of the cute stories. Apparently, I'm into cute today.
Sure.
One of the Indian young women went down to see her aunt and uncle who live in Snowbird. Snowbird is more in the woods than the Cherokee Indian Reservation. There are more full-blooded Indians there than there are on the reservation itself. And her aunt and uncle would feed the little people. Well, she at this point was still in doubt about it. And so her uncle said, "Okay, wait and see." And he took flour and put it all over the front porch or the front deck or whatever. And in the morning, all those little footprints were there where they went to get the food. And so I thought that was an interesting way for a man to prove to his niece that, yes, these are real.
All right. And in your research of doing these type of stories, kind of bringing folklore to life and giving people a chance to see that there is reality behind these stories, what was your first kind of indoctrination to the Cherokee little people? What were some of the stories that you heard when you began doing this research?
I didn't pay much attention to them. I would hear just little glimpses of them. And I think, well, it was just, you know, stories. And Indians are known for having teaching stories. So I figured it might be that. And I just gave it no further thought until, as I said, I ran into this elderly man who had a great reputation, and he began to show me that, yay, they do exist and they are real. It's not just a story. So that's how I got into it, kind of backwards.
When we talk about different beings like the elementals and ancient ones, are these all just interchangeable titles? Are elementals nothing more than just the things that we don't have an explanation for, like the little people, like Bigfoot, like the cryptid encounters that take place?
As far as elementals go, for some reason, I always associate that with very, very small beings. I mean, fairies and little tiny things like that, I think, fall into that category more than the Cherokee little people do. They're real flesh and blood. And by the way, it's not just here in North Carolina. I was out in South Dakota at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, and they have little people out there, and I will share a story. I was fortunate enough to meet a woman who at the time was 29. Her grandfather was a shaman. Her brother was a shaman. She had no title, but you could tell she was intuitive. And she told me several stories, and one of them was she and her cousins went down to a creek. It was big enough to swim in. And the boys went off some time or another, and they found a little cave off the side of one of the creeks, and they went in it. They found a bow and arrow, a quiver, the bow and the arrows, and they took them. And they took them home, and the grandfather said, "You take those back." And after that, the whole little town began to have trouble. Their chickens were getting killed and taken, and lots of mischief was going on. It was being done by the Cherokee little people, not the Cherokee, but the little people out there. And I can't blame them. They're too little to really confront the big humans. And so how else can you convince the humans not to mess with you? So I can understand some of the behavior.
Yeah, the fact that you mess with certain things, you kind of take from certain things, and it upsets the apple cart with these type of beings. What do you think of like these many different burial sites, these mounds that are found throughout the country, these Native American indigenous burial mounds, where when they did dig through, they were finding bones of very large and small beings, beings that weren't just children, but miniaturized humans. Is there this reverence with the indigenous tribes that they protect these beings as well? And when they do pass, that they add them to their piles, to their collective burial?
I think a lot. I think much has gotten beyond their control. I think they would like to protect stuff. They often are able to get the bones back, but enough has gotten out that the general population knows about them.
All right, we have about 2 minutes left in this segment. What's another one of your favorite stories about the Cherokee Little People you'd like to share?
Just off the top of my head, let me see here. There was one, again, out in North Dakota, or South Dakota, which is sticking in my head. And this woman that I mentioned took her grandmother to sit in a chair by the creek so she could fish. The girl and some of her cousins went and started swimming, and they saw bubbles suddenly coming up from the water. And then they saw little footprints going out of the water and up on the bank. So it's that kind of evidence that begins to be more convincing than just dead bones in the ground. And I want to give you an exception. There's one Indian mound, supposedly an Indian mound, on the Western Carolina University that once existed. And the old timers said that was not an Indian mound. All these different tunnels came back to this point. That's where they were taking the dirt out to make these tunnels, and they piled it up. I found that very, very interesting.
It is. And right, again, a fascinating thing that they're hiding it in plain view, right? You dig these tunnels, you got to put that dirt somewhere, put them in. People are just going to assume that they're part of these indigenous burial mounds and leave them be. I love when folklore and fantasy come to light as being more than that, that they are real, that there are anchors to history that prove that things do exist. There are other beings and creatures amongst us. Do you think we're ever going to get definitive proof as though a living one of these creatures will be seen, will be captured, will be brought in? We'll talk with our guest, Mary Joyce, when we return. You're listening to the Paranormal 360. Are you self-employed, a freelancer? Maybe you're just paying out of pocket for your family's health insurance. If so, you're probably overpaying by hundreds each month. Meet Keith, the insurance guy, a real problem solver who's helped families and small business owners save 29 to 51% on their health care without giving up quality care or switching providers. One happy client told us Keith saved our family over $400 a month, and we didn't have to change a single thing. With an open network, you'll still see the doctors you know and trust. No referrals, no restrictions. Keith can also help companies as well as individuals nationwide. So call 612-230-5522 to start saving. Again, that's 612-230-5522. Don't let your health plan drain your bank account. Keith can help you save. Start today. Call or text 612-230-5522. I want to thank our sponsor, Keith, the insurance guy. Our guest right now, Mary Joyce, she has written the book, Cherokee Little People Were Real. I want to start diving into the concept of, will we ever have definitive proof now that they exist? Will we find one living that is brought in, science will expose, Mary Joyce, or do you think these beings are always going to remain underneath the radar and hidden from our society?
I don't think that we are going to get the cooperation of the Bigfoot for that. In fact, I won't cooperate with it. I will not specifically give people locations for some of this stuff because I do not want the people with the guns coming to hunt them down. If that's the kind of proof that people need, well, then I don't want to participate. We don't need to have a dead body to prove that something has existed. There's plenty of evidence right now, and we're getting enough photographic evidence, if you can filter through the fakes, of Bigfoot. Sadly, we have too many jokers in the world, especially in the U.S., who like to, create things that aren't real. And
right.
And it's getting more and more real looking, even though it's not real. And so the one or two times that I've been stung on the website where I've had to take something down right away have both been very well executed Bigfoot stories or Bigfoot films. And so I won't post those now unless I know the people.
Well, I was talking more along the lines of even the Cherokee Little People. Will we ever, catch one in the wild? And do you think they'll ever be proven to exist that way?
We did. The closest I've come to finding tangible proof myself is I have friends that live like two ridges away from me, and they live at the top of the ridge. It's a single lane road. They have a game cam set up by their driveway, and a bird triggered it one day, and off in the distance, you could see what appeared to be a little person. And it was August. It was hot. The little being was either not dressed or just had a loincloth on, had the long straight hair. And the couple hesitated sharing it with me. One of them thought it was just a spirit. One of them thought it was a little person. And they finally gave it to me. And I put it on my computer and started analyzing it. And if you take any kind of a photo and turn it up to a very high concentration, everything that is alive will go magenta. Anything that's a spirit or a ghost will stay white. So I found these pictures that are supposedly legitimate ghost photos. And there's one that I posted, and it shows a ghost on its hands and knees playing with a very alive child. When I turned up the contrast on that, the ghost stayed white. The little child went magenta. I mention all this because I did the same thing with this game photo of the little being in the forest, and it went to magenta. So it's not a clear shot. It's not a great shot, but it is. It does show one being in the forest.
We have about 3.5 minutes left together, and it's going to go by fast. Do you believe that these beings also have an interdimensional quality to them? I know that's been a big thing with Bigfoot, the Fae, these smaller little people, right? A lot of cultures will tell you, and we don't call them leprechauns necessarily. We don't call them this or that. We call them the little people. But they're there 1 second, gone the next. Are they just ninjas in their world where they're able to hide in plain sight? Or are they stepping into this pocket universe that keeps them from being caught, captured, and seen on a regular basis?
My background, I spent a lot of years as a newspaper person and editor, and I have this skeptical mind. And so I don't easily believe these kind of things. So it takes a lot for me to accept that they're real. But I've gotten to the point where I really do believe these things are real. And that probably doesn't answer your question because my mind just went off somewhere else. Try me again.
It happens this late at night to us, Mary. I understand. I'd love for more people to explore these concepts.
I know what I was going to tell you.
Okay,
There's a man. He has a PhD. His last name is Johnston. He's out on the West Coast someplace. He, like you and I, started out as a complete skeptic. Mm-hmm. But step by step, he began to get more and more evidence that Bigfoot were real. And as time went on, and this is over some period of time, not just something instant, he did see a portal open up and saw a Bigfoot disappear into it. When you see reports from a skeptic who has a medical background come up with this kind of a story, you have to consider that it might be true. So the source is important. And that's why I'm not posting any more unknown Bigfoot pictures, because I want to know who's doing it.
It's funny, right? We're now in that point where everybody says, well, if they're real, everybody's got a camera and they're high def cameras now. Why aren't we getting better pictures? The better the picture that you post, the more likely it seems that it's fake. It's funny how now we kind of really only accept blurry, crappy shots of Bigfoot and these weird creatures as more legitimate than actually these high def 4K ones, right?
That's true, because AI and all of those tricky things with visuals are changing our world.
Exactly.
I have to be on guard much more than I used to.
We've got to wrap up here, Mary Joyce. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Tell people again the name of your website, how they can find you and keep up with you and work and all the great news that you do post.
Okay, all the words are easy to spell except the last one. It's skyshipsovercashers.com. And I update it once a week unless something strange happens in my world. And cashiers is spelled like a cashier at the grocery store.
We do have a link for that on today's program guide. Tiny tunnels, ancient bones, eyewitnesses with nothing to gain, but everything to say. Maybe the past isn't as buried as we thought. We don't need to look to the stars for every mystery. Some are right here beneath our feet. Thanks to Mary Joyce, we've taken another step toward the hidden truths buried in our own backyard. I'm Dave Schrader. We'll be back next week with more legends, truths, and everything in between, right here on the Paranormal 360.